And sit down. I appreciate seeing Pastor all fired up. Yep. Amen. You all doing good this morning? Yes. Good to meet you. Good to see you. Who's a new face? Who am I meeting for the first time this weekend? It's a bunch of new faces I see. I haven't met you guys. Oh, it's a lot of you. Let me see you again. Be patient with me. I just want to get my eyes on you. Okay. It's a lot of folks. Close to half. Wow. Good. Yeah, that's exciting to me. That's just more hearts I get to meet and be with and pour into. So thanks for the honor of this weekend. Thank you for letting me be here. Patricia, thank you. And Dan, for letting this all happen. I'm excited. Look, I don't know why I'm saying this. I want you to understand I have faith to go into areas. I get about 400 invites a year. I get invites to a lot of places. I get invites to do a lot of really cool conferences. Who knows Heidi Baker? I just got invited to do a conference with Heidi and a bunch of people everybody knows, and I say no to all of it. All of it. I haven't done a conference for years because I feel like I have more access to hearts I'd never have access to at these conferences because there's conference-minded people. There's a circuit of conferences. And there's just good, God-fearing, God-loving, hard-working, family-oriented people in all these little towns all over the country that because of the population and some of the location, a lot of big things don't seem to be happening. A lot of people don't go to those places. And I have a lot of faith in my heart to go to places, and I don't care how big or small. I got invites at home that say, we have 4,000 members, we have X thousand, we want you to come. And a lot of times they have all these speakers everybody knows coming in there, and I don't go to any of those churches. I'd rather be right here. Really, where a lot of people have never even heard my name and don't even know what I'm about to preach. I like catching folks off guard. Just messing with you. No, actually, I'm not. I like catching folks off guard. So I'm going to preach the gospel just for a little bit this morning, and I'm not going to be long-winded. I know you don't believe me if you were here all weekend. Pastor doesn't even believe me. He's going to repent in a minute and say, I'm sorry I didn't believe you, brother, but I won't blow nothing up on a Sunday as far as time. I understand we've got families. It's not about being here all day. It's not. That doesn't make us more spiritual. What makes us spiritual is when we give our hearts to what God's saying and let grace begin to make us more like Him and live effective in our everyday lives. Yes. See, going to church, I said it all weekend, will never change the world. Don't let church attendance take the place of knowing Him. Don't let your connection with the church take the place of relationship with God. Be very careful, because if you don't have the relationship with God, you won't receive the grace to become more like Him and have a change of heart and a change of life. You'll have a confession of Him and you'll have the same old things working through your life. Same prides, jealousies, frustration, anxiety, fears, self-centered, self-conscious, judgments, and all the stuff that we've been used to living our whole lives that we seem to think is normal us. If you read your Bible, none of those things are normal us. None of those things is what we were created to be. They're what we became when Adam ate the tree and separated himself from who God was and what God made him to be. Guys, what this dear lady said up here about value, the whole purpose of the cross is redeeming and restoring us back to original value, back to the truth of what God intended for man from the beginning. The trouble is we've been trained by life in the way that seems right to man and degenerated, twisted up feelings and emotions and motives. Come on, nobody taught you to be angry. Nobody taught you to be frustrated. You didn't have to go to school to be jealous. Life taught you this stuff, but it wasn't the giver of life that taught you this stuff. See, Jesus is more. The reason He's the way, the truth, and the life isn't so you can arrogantly go to the world and accost them for believing something else. Well, Jesus is the only way. You better be able to explain why He's the only way, or they'll just see you as bullheaded and abrasive. The reason He's the way, the truth, and the life is because He was totally innocent, fulfilled all the law, came as a man, and modeled the life that we were created for. He fulfilled what Adam failed and said, follow me. Don't just sing to me. Don't just pray to me when you're under pressure. Follow me. Come on. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the... So we've made Him the way to heaven, and He's actually the way back to the Father. Come on, we better read our Bibles and get a grip. This thing isn't about religious duty and service and I'm a part of River Church. No, the Spirit of God lives in me. And He has changed everything about me. See, you're all excited. Now I'm excited. I'm just telling you, life's not a dread and a burden, and we're not trying to survive and get through and make it till the end. That's a lie. We've already overcome. Jesus is in us. He's changed our identity. He's changed our purpose, our reason for being, if we yield and really understand. Now, you can get trapped doing church. You can get trapped being religious. You can just get up and go to church because it's Sunday morning, 10:30, and that's when we meet. And you can miss why we meet. The reason we meet is to stir one another in love and good works, not to qualify. We already qualified. Jesus accepted us through His shed blood. You already measured up. You're not taking the test to pass or fail. You already passed. Jesus took the test and gave you an A. I'm serious. He washed you clean. He made you free. If your heart cares and you're sincere and you say, man, I just want to live the way You made me to live. I wish I didn't do the things I did and be the way I was. And sometimes I knew better and did it. Anyway, God, I'm done with that mess. Wash me, forgive me, and let's get it on. If you get to that place, He makes all things new. He will never look at you for where you've been. He'll look at you for what you've become. And grace is sufficient for your life. Now you can get caught up with people issues and he said, she said, and tit for tat. And well, I don't feel good because she said and he shouldn't. And why did they stop that? None of those things are Lord. Why are you letting them dictate who you are and then singing He's Lord? Come on. You say, well, I'm not doing good because you don't know what I'm going through. See, you got your eyes on you. What about what he went through? What about who you are because of what he went through? Why is it always about us? Why did we make this gospel all about us? Getting a breakthrough, getting provision, getting blessing, getting full vats, getting full barns. What about a transformed life and a brand new heart and a brand new way? That's what will impress the world. That's what will touch people on your workplace. That's what will touch people in a mall at a gas pump. See, if you're not thinking that way, you won't even see those people. They're just in your way. I'm serious. If it's just all about you, you won't even notice anybody around you. But if it's not all about you and it's really all about Him and Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of glory. Glory, the word glory, without having a 3-day conference on glory is simply, and I'm not making fun of that. What I'm saying is the word glory means any manifest attribute of God. The Christ in you is the hope of making God seen and known. And it's all about that. It ain't about fighting. It ain't about getting animosity and all this stuff and caught up in and when I and this ain't fair. And come on, guys. Jesus didn't come for us to go to church, incorporate Him into our life and our speech and live from the same place we lived before Him. We're born again. We have new life. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Come on. It's so scriptural. We're to put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man. Renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who made you. I've been preaching it all weekend. I'm just recapping. I have a lot of new faces. I got half the people saying, this is my first time I'm seeing you. So I'm just recapping. If you were already hearing this weekend, it's all right. It's still alive, a living word, and it'll never grow old. If you'd hear me talk to the Lord driving in my truck when I'm all alone, you thought I'd have got born again last week. I never get tired of being righteous in His sight. I never get tired of feeling clean and free. Having a squeaky clean conscience. If you could hear me in the Holy Ghost right now, I walk and just... My conscience ain't violated, man. I don't have secrets. I'm not busting up my soul. I ain't living in compromise. I'm not giving my heart to things that aren't Him when you're not looking. He owns me. He won me. But I'm not His slave. I'm His son. He bought me with a price and I'm not for sale. I'm a hotel or motel fully occupied. There's no vacancy over me. There's nowhere to move in. I'm already full. I ain't got time to mess around. I ain't got time for my flesh. I have no need for sin. That's like a third shoe. I have time to be like Him. I actually have time to love you and care about you and notice that you have value. Because then when you're pumping gas, you just ain't overwhelmed by your spouse and your day and your job and all the pressures you've analyzed and put on your soul. And all of a sudden you actually realize there's somebody pumping gas beside you. And because you're actually free in the midst of it all, you have the capacity to notice they're standing there. And you say, hey man, how you doing today? Good to see you, bud. I hope your day goes great, man. Listen, I don't know if anybody ever really told you this. I promise you, Jesus really, really loves you. What? Man? No matter what he says, you're sowing into his heart. No matter what he thinks. Next thing you know, you can tell him. He might ask a question. You just open the door. He might actually say, man, I don't even believe in that stuff. You know what? There's a lot of people that don't believe in it because they don't understand. Sir, don't ever be presumptuous and think you know what you maybe haven't understood. The next thing you know, you just get talking. I could tell you so many stories of just making contact, just communicating, and God going, shoo. I'm at the gas pump, and I'm talking to God about Jesus. Next thing I know, I'm looking down, I'm looking at his tattoos, I'm reading them, I'm checking them out, and he got a diabetic tattoo on a bracelet. It's a bracelet tattoo that says diabetes. I said, you're kidding me, man. What's on your wrist? I said, it looks like a bracelet. It's a tattoo, and it says diabetes. You got diabetes? He said, yeah, in case I'm ever in an accident or injury, so the EMT guys know that I have diabetes, just so they're aware. I said, you're kidding me. I've never seen anybody do that. He said, yeah, it's just an idea that came to me. I thought it was just a good way to... I said, well, listen, man, I know how you feel about this. I shut off my pump, and I walked right over there. I talked to him about the convictions of my heart and Jesus and the things I've seen in my life because I get involved. See, people say, well, I've never seen blind eyes open. I say, how many did you pray for? People say, well, I ain't never seen nobody get out of a wheelchair. I say, how many did you pray for? I saw one get out of a wheelchair in Jackson, Mississippi Airport. I saw one get out of a wheelchair in Seattle, Washington. I saw one get out of a wheelchair on Bob Evans' restaurant porch. I seen one get out of a wheelchair in the front of Walmart. Do I need to keep talking? But I've prayed for a bunch. I might only seen a few get out, and I prayed for a bunch, but I'm praying for them. I'm moving forward. I'm done analyzing and building on what hasn't happened. I'm going after what God said.
Yes.
Saw two blind eyes open in my hometown in one day. Seen blind eyes open a whole handful of times in my Christian life. I've watched tumors disappear and people come out of comas. I don't talk about it much because everybody crowds around you for prayer. And they forget we're the body of Christ. And the same thing you see in me and hear in me is in you and him. Let's not make this about a gifting and anointing and a river that's flowing through an individual. The river's flowing through him. And he's in us if we believe. Come on, I ain't playing with you this morning. I came to tell you who you are. She said it up here. Nobody ever told me in my life that Jesus died for my value. Every minister comes from the avenue of depravity. It's not the reprimand of God that changes your life. It's the goodness of God. When you see he's good and see he first loved you, if you think he's mad at you, you're just condemned because you know he has a reason to be. But if you think he loves you and you believe that he sees past your weakness and he's willing to make that weakness strong, then you have access and boldness to pursue him and approach him. And all of a sudden you realize he wants to take your fig leaves off and cover your nakedness with righteousness and garments of salvation. And he doesn't want you hiding from him and playing games and charades. And when he asks you a question, did you do this? He doesn't want you saying, well, it's the woman you gave me. And if you wouldn't have gave me the woman, I probably wouldn't have, so don't look at me. No, he wants you taking responsibility and saying, yes, Lord, I should have known better. It was in my heart. And man, I don't want to ever do that again. And you're making me wise and sharper. Thanks for loving me and empowering me. Thanks you for truth. Instead of running from God, you're running to God because you understand his love.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus did not die on the cross just because you're a sinner, guys. He died on the cross because you're created for his image, and that was lost through sin. So he was made to be sin to get your identity back, get purpose on you, and get destiny rolling again.
Yes.
So you better believe that God put his son on the cross to redeem your value. He had to die because you sinned. But he didn't die because you're a sinner. He died because you're much more.
Yes. Man, good.
No preacher ever told me that in my whole life. So by the time I was 20, I quit going to church because I didn't get it. It was just a sad Easter story, a suffering Savior. And here was my perpetual failing life with evil thoughts and lustful mind and wishful thinking and self-centered stuff raging in me. And I'd sit in church and we'd sing songs and I knew that stuff wasn't in my heart. Be real with me. And I'd be like, what am I doing? I am a million miles from this. Why would he die for me? I'm failure waiting to happen. If he shed his blood for me, I'm going to need it in about 10 minutes because I feel like I'm not with him and in him. And all of a sudden I was driven by sin consciousness because every preacher told me he died on the cross because I'm a sinner. He died on the cross because I'm a sinner. And it left me a sinner. It left me a mysteriously forgiven sinner. And I had more questions than answers. And why would God love me if I'm failure waiting to happen? Why would God love me if I have all these wretched things working in my heart? Why would He pay such a ridiculous price and die on a cross to forgive me when I haven't even been thinking about Him? And all that stuff raged through me and I didn't get it. And I got tired of going to church because I was just aware of my problem all the time. So I just stopped going. Yeah. One day Jesus came to work and said, you don't even know if God's really real. 13 years later, you don't even know if God's really real. He didn't say, you know, you got to get right with God. You haven't read your Bible forever. When's the last time you prayed? Hey, you got to get back to church. He didn't say none of that. He said, you don't even know if God's real. He didn't say it first person. He spoke it through me, into me, to me, as if it was me thinking, but it was greater than my thoughts. Do you know what God's passion was for me? That I might know Him. That I might become His friend. That I might see He's always been my Father and He wants to be my friend too.
Yes.
He was really about that. He was about coming and getting me to know Him. Not serve Him. Not get my church attendance sharpened up again. You gather yourself together. But please don't get religious when you come to church. Please don't do this to qualify. Please understand the only reason we gather here is to stay reminded of who we are and why.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
So you don't get swallowed up in some wrong thinking of discouragement, despair, self-centered thinking, woe is me mentality. To where the highest grace you receive is that somebody notices you and cares.
Yeah.
When you're so much more.
Right.
Don't you come here to be loved. You come here to love.
Yeah.
Don't you come here for what men can do for you and how this church can support you. You come to support others. You get your eyes off of you and watch how the grace works rampantly in your life. You consider the interest of others and not your own and consider others more highly than yourself. Philippians chapter 2. And you watch what starts happening in your life. You make it all about you, then the seed has never fallen to the ground. It'll never die and spring up and bear much fruit. And in the end, you'll have an empty canvas of rolling hills that should be covered with trees. Why? Because you never died and fell to the ground, never sprung up and bore much fruit. Jesus was the seed that died and fell to the ground and sprung up and reproduced after His own kind, as many as would believe, many Christ-like ones. That's what Christian means, little Christ-like one. Doesn't mean I believe in Jesus. It means He's in me and I'm becoming like Him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Good.
I'm so excited about the gospel. I'm holding on to this thing trying to stay calm so I don't jump around on you. You ought to see it. I get so excited. People ask me in public how I'm doing. Why was I in town? I'm going to sit on a plane today. Somebody's going to seatbelt beside me and ask me how I'm doing. It's so fun. And I say, so why were you in town? Are you heading home or is this your home? No, I was just here for the weekend. Why were you here? I'll share one or two little testimonies, a couple things that God did. Do you remember the sister that said she felt something changing in the hernia the other night? Who was here Friday when we prayed? The next day she got weighed by her doctor and was 8 pounds lighter. From fluids and infection and stuff left her body. 8 pounds lighter overnight because God did something in her belly. True? The next day, she went to the doctor and was 8 pounds lighter. The day before they came, we got prayer, prayed. She felt it change. The next morning, she was 8 pounds different. The doctor was the day before. Come on, guys. That's just sweet. Remember the lady, she here, the lady that couldn't touch her arm? Is she here right now? No, but you remember her? Did you see her little 13-year-old daughter come up to me at the end and sob on me? She said, thank you for healing my mother. I said, honey, you can't blame that on me. I just taught it. And people prayed for your mama and Jesus did it. She said, but you don't know how it was at home. And it was so hard. We couldn't go anywhere. And she was in so much pain. And thank you. And she just laid on me here and just sobbed. And sobbed. And then she went over and laid on her mother and sobbed. Because her young heart was being moved by who He really is. That He's more than a doctrine. He's more than enduring a church service at a young age. He's more than getting through the boring routine. He's actually practical, present help for my mama. And He took away her pain. And now she's going, whoa. I like that stuff. See, that's worth getting on a plane right there, buddy. I said all weekend, everybody said, thank you for coming. I said, does it look like I'm sacrificing? Or am I here because I want to be? I'm here because I want to be. I'm not here for an offering. Thank you if you have a heart to bless me. I told Patricia, I'm not here for an offering. I said, don't you take offers. She said, well, you like it because my husband isn't into offerings and he usually just puts a basket somewhere. I said, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. You don't even have to do that. I'm not here for that. I'm here because you're here and I believe what I'm preaching.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, here's the raw truth. You want the raw truth? Yes. I'm going to get on a plane in a few hours and life's going to be good in God and I'm going to be this way every time anybody sees me, bumps into me. Life doesn't have the power to change that. My own wife can't change that. Why? Because I love her. I don't need her. There's a difference. Do you know what the devil believes about Christians? He doesn't believe we love God. He believes we need God. And he's out to prove it. He loves to put you in situations to find your true colors and what you really understand and don't. He loves when you complain. He loves when you get frustrated. He loves when you say stuff like, I can't take anymore. Well, if one more thing happens, I'm just going to be... He loves when you get in that arena because he has you so punch drunk and he's about to wipe you out. And then you yell at God and wonder why God is letting it all happen. He's not. You're sitting duck for it. You're positioned. You're exposed. You're revealing through your language. It's all about you. But you're singing. It's all about Him. Don't you grow weary in well-doing, church. Don't you make it about you and how you feel and how your circumstances are panning out. You do not find the love of God through your circumstances. You already found the love of God through His Son. If the love of God wasn't already revealed, you couldn't be rooted and grounded in it. If you're looking through it through life, it's always in question. If you found it through His Son, it's already settled. Faith works through love. If love's in question, you'll never live by faith. You'll be driven by need. And you'll stay self-conscious and even have a lot of questions about God. People come to me mad. Well, why did God let my parents divorce? God did not let your parents divorce. He doesn't have remotes in heaven with your parents' names on them. I'm not being cynical. I'm being real. And I want that mentality to sound foolish so people stop justifying their frustration and anger toward God. People make decisions. People make choices. You yourself, when you're frustrated, have to admit that there's times in your life you knew to do right and didn't anyway. And then you're going to blame what happens on God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that he will surely reap. If he sows into his flesh, of the flesh, he'll reap corruption. If he sows into his spirit, of the spirit, he'll reap life. And then we preach sovereignly that God's in control and everything that happens is His administrative choice and will. That is not scriptural. Men are reaping what they're sowing. God's willing life and people are speaking death. And the power of death and life is in the tongue. He gave you authority in Jesus' name. He told you to put on your armor and fight the good fight of faith. If everything that was happening was the choice of God, you wouldn't have that authority. You wouldn't have those weapons. And it would be all unnecessary. Whatever will be, que sera, sera. That is not the gospel. The earth he did give to the children of men. He told you not to fear. He told you not to live in unforgiveness. And he told you not to live for yourself. Men do all the above and then pump their fist at God when life doesn't work out. And it proves that man has fallen and needs born again. It's time to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, he'll lift us up and reveal his glory. Come on, guys. Don't you let those attitudes be found in you. They're detrimental to your life and your destiny. Attitudes and opinions are a dime a dozen, but the wisdom didn't come from God. You got it from men. It's the way that seemeth right to a man. And in the moment, it makes sense, but it doesn't produce life in you, and it doesn't produce life in the long run. If what you're thinking and meditating on and believing isn't exciting your heart and revealing him and producing life, it cannot be from the Lord. If you're just sitting musing and running your mind and now you're grayed out or frustrated or mad at somebody, it's a trap.
Yeah, it is.
Stop agreeing with the mindset. God didn't teach you to think that way. The fall of man did.
Yes. Come on.
Come on, man. We're here to stir one another in love and good works. We're not here to pay homage to God. We're here to remind ourselves who we are and why he paid this great price. Not in a militant, legalistic, obligatory way. Okay, gotta go win souls. Stop it. I don't even think ministry. I don't even think that stuff. I just live my life clean in Jesus. People notice and get touched along the way. Yeah? Man, it's just fun. You know, when I saw the lady get out of the wheelchair in the Jackson Airport, I walked by and I said, Lord, I had to get to my gate. I didn't have a lot of time. She was sitting at her gate in a wheelchair. I said, Lord, there's a lot of reasons why she's in that chair. Could be, but I said, tell me why. I'm just interested. Tell me why. He told me why she was in the chair. So I went running over to her. I was all excited. I had a Jesus shirt on. And I said, hey, honey. I slid in and I kneeled right in front of her. I knelt down on a knee. People were all sitting. You know how it is at the airport? They're all sitting. I started talking about Jesus, having my shirt. People were putting a paper over their head. Oh, brother. Some Christian zealot, some wacko, time and a place for everything. Yeah, the time is now. The day is now. Now's the time. It's just funny how people are, man, until God shows up. And I wasn't there to blow up the place. I'm not there to be rude and obnoxious. I'm just there to love one lady. She was in my sights. She's going to get loved. It's not that I can't see anybody else. I'm just not trying to put on a show. I'm just looking to love one lady. I said, hey, honey, how are you? What's your name? She said, Mildred. I said, do you want to see my shirt? Check my shirt out. She went, oh, that's nice. She wasn't real impressed with my shirt. I said, let me tell you about my shirt, Mildred. I believe in him with all my heart, and he's changed my life, and he speaks to me. And when I walk by you, I ask him why you're in this chair. And it was a rare form of arthritis, and I had the name. I don't even remember it now, but God gave me the name. I didn't even know the name. I just winged it and trusted it was Jesus. I said, when I walked by, I said, I asked Jesus why you're in the wheelchair, and this is what I heard, such and such arthritis. I said, tell me, honey, did I hear him right? She went, you did? That's why I'm in the chair. I said, that's just amazing, isn't it? That's awesome. I said, whew, I thought I was hearing right. I said, now here's the thing, we stay back home. What God reveals, he heals. He's not a newspaper writer. He's not a gossip. He told me that because he loves you and he knows that I have the potential and ability to love you because of what I understand. I want to pray for you. Please let me pray for you. And let's see what God does in your body. Oh, well, that would be fine. Did you ever see The Wizard of Oz and The Tin Man? That's what she looked like when God made her come alive. It was just powerful and beautiful. He made a good video. It would have been a fun movie. Trouble is then on the movie, people say, oh, she's an actor and that's set up. But I tell you, them people hiding behind their papers, they couldn't get out of it. It was too late. Wasn't a church service. Wasn't paid actors. It's just too late. I prayed for her and I said, were your shoulders frozen? Was your neck frozen? She said, oh, sir. She said, I was turning into cement. This thing is turning me into cement. She said, I can barely walk. That's why I'm in the chair. But my upper body has been frozen for a long time. I said, start moving it for me. She said, "Oh, oh my." It just made you cry. She said, and it was like you could have pictured Dorothy standing there. But it wasn't Dorothy. It was that mighty Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, he's awesome. And guess where he lives? In me. And guess what? He wants out. And John 7 says, if I believe in him as the scriptures say, out of my belly. So guess what she's getting? Life-giving water. Watched her whole body come alive, upper body. Now, I didn't tell her to do this. I didn't even suggest it. Guess what she did? She looked at me. Wow. I said, honey, it's Jesus. My eyes filled with tears. I said, he's Jesus. He's my king, honey. He told me to do this. She said, wow. She reached down and put her footy things. She stood up. You know, I was like, I was fired up inside. I didn't say nothing, but I was like, you go, girl, go! Run! Run! You know, I was excited! But I know how to play it cool in a crowd like that. I'm going to let Jesus do it. I'm going to let Jesus, because in Everett, Washington, that lady come out of the wheelchair, 2.5 years belted in, completely paralyzed from spinal deterioration. She walked down a strip mall sidewalk because of Jesus. And everybody's gone. What? And she's screaming on the sidewalk. Oh God! Oh God! He swallowed up atrophy and everything. Just like in your Bible. Why not? It's here. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. As I am, so are you in the world. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, it shall be. If you believe, you'll say to the mountain, it'll move. I don't have time to be frustrated and offended and tit for tat and all about me when it's really all about Him. And I'm not going to live this way if I let other things grab my attention. I don't even see her in the airport if I'm worried about my flight times and inconvenience and layover. I don't even know she's sitting there if it's all about me and travel's tough and wearisome and here we go again and oh, look at a crowd. Well, a middle seat, bummer. Who cares? Man, we've been trained by a lie. We've been made so self-centered by the fall. We've been become so selfish we don't even realize it. Do you know the biggest tragedy in the church? That a lot of us are Christians for us. And for our well-being and for protection and the safety of our family. Come on, that would be the easiest cop-out way to be a Christian. Just a Christian for your sake? It's unscriptural. You're a Christian for His great name. You're not a Christian to get through. You're not a Christian to survive. You're a Christian to be changed. So you see Mildred sitting there. And you hear the voice of your Father. And He desires to be her Father. Guess what Mildred does? She starts walking. And she keeps going, oh my. Oh my. It was priceless. I'm just standing there. Just. She comes back. And I greeted her halfway back. I said, you're doing really good. Could you walk? Now I'm talking. Everybody's listening. Some of them are acting like they're not. This is not a joke. I'm sitting on the airplane talking to a lady. She's crying. We're talking. I'm looking between my seat. And the man in front of me is on the same page for between 10 and 15 minutes. Why? He wasn't reading. Never turned a page. 10 to 15 minutes. It's funny. Just hilarious. You know what happens to me on an airplane when that happens? I'm heading out the jetway and somebody will tap my arm, tug me. I'll look and they'll tremble. Excuse me, sir. I couldn't help but to listen in. I didn't mean to eavesdrop. Well, what are you asking? What do you want? Prayer? Do you need? Could you pray for me? Right in the jetway. Yeah, you better believe I'll pray for you. Fire! No, just kidding. Just kidding. Ah! anybody else what Jesus does. I think sometimes we get the idea that if everybody's not on the floor screaming and every wheelchair empty, that we haven't moved in God. No, if you fail to love somebody in front of you, you haven't moved in God. If you're just worried about getting in line to get a better so you can get a luggage space. Come on, I look at airplanes and I'm like, we're all going to the same place, but people are bucking line, cutting in, three lines turn into one. You just ought to see. And it's like, we're all going to the same place, but the reason is, I want room for my luggage. I don't want my luggage to be behind my seat. Hey, if I can get space, maybe somebody else will have to put their luggage behind. See, they ain't thinking about nobody else. It's their convenience. Christians always want the front row parking, always want the green light. I'm like, it fascinates me. We don't understand. Why do Christians always want the best parking spot and call it favor? If you're in the front, somebody else is in the back. Doesn't that matter? Why do you always have to get preference? If your light's always green, somebody's red. Doesn't that matter? Why have we turned faith into blessing and convenience? And then we call it favor and hide behind spiritual language that means nothing, that keeps our heart dull and we never see the value of the world around us. We're just thinking of us in favor. You have a conference on favor, there's 100,000 people there. We got favor, don't we? God will never see me for what I was. He'll see me for what He made me to be. He will never judge me for yesterday. Favor? Are you kidding? The Spirit of God's in me and I'm never going to die. So I guess we already won. I guess I'm not trying to win. I guess we won. I guess I'm more than a conqueror. Do you realize that He paid the price and handed you the dividends? Yes. How can you be more than a conqueror? Because the conqueror went in and battled, came out and gave you the purse. It'd be like the heavy Richard in his day, man. Heavyweight fighter. Everybody knew Richard. Bam. And Richard's in heavyweight fight, title fight of the world, man. Everybody's there, millions of dollars purse, bam, bam, late rounds. Richard's, and all of a sudden, the guy falls. Richard's hand goes up high. Heavyweight, champion. He fought the fight, man. He got the little raspberry to prove it, but boy, he won. Yeah. They hand him the several million dollar purse. He goes home and says, look, Miss Linda. And she says, thank you, man. And all of a sudden, Linda just became more than conqueror. Did you get it? Come on, Jesus died. He paid a price. Guys, He got beat beyond description. This thing was real. They hit Him again and again and again. And Isaiah 52 says He was more marred more than any of the sons of men. That means He was worse at the hands of men than any man ever appeared at the hands of men. That means when they were done beating Him, there's no way you could tell who He was. No way. Look what men have done to men over the years. Look at the barbaric, sadistic things people have done to one another. With burnings and charrings and draggings and boilings and skinnings in those days. Crazy stuff. To each other. To doing it to people made in the similitude of God, of one blood, all nations. Pride and prejudice and high-mindedness and self-righteousness. Jesus was marred more than any. This thing ain't a joke. We feel nervous in a crowd to mention His name. He hung naked on a cross and died for doing nothing wrong. I didn't say that to condemn you, just to sober you. Why did He have to get beat beyond description and lose His appearance? Because when sin got done with man in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. He lost his image. So Jesus lost his appearance to pay the price to get ours back. He was separated so you never will be again. He died so you never will. He was judged so you're redeemed. Come on, man. This is not an Easter story. It's the Son of God raised from the dead for your justification. And now the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. That's not hallelujah on Sunday. That's Christ flowing through me in the airport. The reason I told you this story about Mildred, we hugged, she cried, I was already crying. I said, well, look, honey, I got to go catch my plane. I want to grab a water and I got to run over there. But it's been fun. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for not saying no. Thank you for letting me step into your life. Thank you for letting me. Why? Because it matters to me. If I believe he could do something like that, then surely I should care. I was just in a Carl's Jr. Or Hardee's on the east. Out this way, they're Carl's Jr. I don't understand. It's the same place. Same little star emblem. The boy's in there like this. He's heading out the door with his little bag of food. His daddy got it. His daddy's a big boy. Spanish man. Intimidating looking. His arms look like my legs hanging out his t-shirt. I ain't kidding. He just walked. I'm like, dear Jesus, that boy's big. They're heading out to the car, and I waited till they were away because I didn't want to put them on the spot because there's people everywhere. I was thinking to them, I'm not a showboat. I slipped out the door. Hey, buddy. Man, what'd your boy do? He looks hurting. Oh, yeah, he really messed up his ankle, man. He can't use it. Sports injury. I said, no way. How old are you? He's 12. I said, it's messed up. He went, he's standing. Yeah, you can't use it all. I said, listen, man, I'll tell you why I ran out here to talk to you. I waited till you left. I didn't want to embarrass you or nothing. I'm heading over to the airport. I'm going to get on a plane and fly back to the East Coast. I was in California. I said, but I was hoping you'd let me pray for your son. Oh, no, 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 man, we're good. We don't want no prayer. We're good. I said, buddy, look at me. Are you kidding? It don't look good. Come on, don't resist prayer. I realized right then, but I didn't say nothing. He had issues with God. He was angry. And he was deciding to not believe in him and try to sign him off in his life because he had frustration. Now he met me and I'm not frustrated. I just smile and I'm gentle and I'm kind to him. And I said, sir, please let me pray for you. Boy, don't blow this off. No, no, man, we're good. I said, sir, you're kidding me. So I'm aggressive, gentle. I said, you're kidding me. I said, listen to me, sir. I don't want to offend you, but please hear my heart. If I didn't see things happen like this in my life and didn't believe something could, I would be a fool to come out here and approach you because in a minute I'm going to look like a fool. But if I've seen this happen before, then maybe I would track you down and say something, huh? Please, my eyes fill with tears all the time. Please let me pray for your son. Do you see how much it matters to God? Then it ought to matter to me. He's not just another guy dealing with his own stuff. Oh, well, each to his own. At least my four are blessed. Stop. His son is no less important than your son. Worth the same to God. Just because it's our son, we think they have more value. Maybe to you, but that's not even scriptural. You ought to have the ability to see everyone the same. Of course your children have an inheritance. Of course they're your flesh and blood. Of course. But I heard a pastor say once, look, if only four people are going to heaven, there's only one thing I care about, that it's me, my boy, and my girl. And I'm thinking, that's tragic. Paul said, let me be accursed that you might know him. Jesus said, I'll take the blame so you can go free. And then we become selfish and preach it from the pulpit. Don't make your kids more important than somebody else's. Because they're not. And I said, so please let me pray. I said, here's the deal. It'll take 15 seconds and it'll be awesome. That's what happened. He said, well, all right, man. He just gave in. He could have squeezed my head off my body. He was a big dude. I was just hoping he didn't reach out. Because I got stuff to do for the Lord. I mean, he can't kill me, right? You pop my head off and I'm with Jesus. But it would have been a shame if he'd have done that. I wouldn't have got to pray for his boy. I don't know, as aggressive as I am, my head might have said, in Jesus' name, be healed. That would have been awesome. My body's falling over. Be healed. I prayed for the boy. I looked at him. I said, son. I said, now listen, daddy did say yes, but I want to make sure you're okay. I don't want to just take his word. Do you mind if I pray? He's standing there, big eyes. He just looked at his dad like, his dad. I seen his dad do that. I said, okay, I'm okay. Never touched him. It's powerful. Never touched him. Father, thank you for your amazing love for these guys, for their family, for this boy. Anko, I speak to you in the authority of Jesus' name. You be healed right now. Total mobility, total flexion, and no more pain. Father, thank you for what you do. Thank you for your love. Amen. The guy said, thanks, man. Okay, thanks. The kid's like, I said, well, wait, whoa. I want you to do something quick. Dad, listen carefully so you know I ain't saying nothing crazy. You can't use your foot. You can't put it down. Oh, no, hurts. I said, real gently, listen carefully, Dad. Put it down real careful and just don't put pressure on it. Just touch it and then just start touching it real slow. If there's any pain at all, bring it back up and don't do it. If there's no pain, keep putting it down. Is that fair, Dad? Or is that unsafe? He said, no, I don't mind. He knows. It's his ankle. I said, well, put it down. You understand what I'm saying, son? Just put it down and put pressure on it and start lifting up and evening your pressure. And if it bites you, bring it up. He said, okay. Guys, I'd be a weirdo to make this stuff up. What would I gain? Just to get you to go, whoa, really? And then I go, oh, I feel like somebody when I'm nobody? Come on, that would be weird to stand here and make this stuff up. Weird. I would be a real twisted man. Judged severely someday. Time will tell. I'm telling the truth, Linda. Oh! Just like this, that's what he did. He went. Dad. That's just what he did. Said, Dad. Dad's just looking. He's got his bag. Dad's looking. I'm talking big, Dad. Dad. I'm just smiling. Scratches. Holds him up. And he's standing. Watch. That's exactly what he did. Dad. I said, that's what you say, man. Jesus loves you, dude. Dad, thanks. He said, no. No, man. No. He's freaking out. No. And I'm like, hey, man. I reached in. I couldn't even get my hand a quarter of the way around his neck, but I grabbed it. I just grabbed a chunk of it. And I said, no, man, don't go there. Don't you run from this. Look at me. You've had issues. You've had hurt. You've had frustration towards God. And I know it. I said, stop it. God's showing you who he is. You've been believing wrong. He loves you, and he loves that boy. And you can't deny it now. He looked at me. He let me go. I said, so. I'm just making that up. I'm just making it fun. He did. He grabbed me, man. This big dude. He broke down. It was humility. It was a sign of I surrender. I give in. I'm done thinking this way. He squeezed me, man. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Really, I was in faith for the hug. I was like, Jesus, because you're a big dude. I look over. Guess what the boy's doing? Dad! He just 12 years old. He just... I hugged him, hugged the boy. I'm weeping. The people that were taking me to the airport, the mom and dad and kids, they never came out. Guess what they were doing? Watching through the window. I walked in the store. They're just standing there. He said, thank you for that experience and that example. I said, are you kidding? Thank Jesus for his love. Yes. I look back over my shoulder. They got in their truck, big old truck. Boy gets in there. He's talking 100 mile an hour. He's sitting up on his seat. Priceless. Now watch this. If I'm inward, self-conscious, self-centered, in a rush, frustrated by the crowd, can't get food quick, got to catch a flight, oh, bummer, should have went somewhere, I don't even see the boy. If my conscience isn't clear and I'm not communing with God and I don't feel good about myself in Him, I don't even have the confidence to pray for Him because I don't even believe God will move through me because I don't even believe God's cool with me. Oh, yeah, come on now, I'm on something here. But if I understand that He paid a price to redeem me and make me righteous and fill me with who He is and He wants to live in me, and I'm in a house fit for a king my whole life and didn't even know it. I was prime real estate and didn't even know it. He paid a high price to obtain me. Yes. He could live anywhere. He could build a big castle in the sky in the north, south, east, and west. Could come out of their house and see it at once. It's possible. God could do that. And we would teach our kids, that's where God lives. That's where God lives. And we'd all go, whoa. Little four-year-old going to the car. But He doesn't want to do that, Richard. He wants to live in you. He could live anywhere, and He said, I'll live in you. So the people look at you and go, whoa. He desires to live in flesh. He made man to live inside of man, to flow through man, so that the whole earth could be filled with His glory. He made man in His image, and Jesus paid the price to restore the image. Yeah? See, what's tough about sharing all these testimonies, then everybody in the church that's sick wants you to pray for them because they believe you're flowing. And that's not the point. The point is, let's all get in the game. Let's start laying our hands on the sick. Let's start somewhere. Let's start somewhere. See, because Mildred, I'll back to Mildred and I'll finish. Yeah, I'll finish. I'll finish. I'm at the cash register and I hear this voice, this woman's voice talking. And I said, that's Mildred. It's exactly how that, oh, it's priceless. I look back at the gate, Mildred, standing in front of the chairs waiting to board her flight, all the people, she's standing in front of them just like this. And she's going, did you see? Did you see what happened? That man, his shirt, it's all about Jesus. He told me what was wrong with me. He knew. He told me why I was in that wheelchair. He knew. He said the Lord told me. She's telling the story to the people. Now I'm gone, so there's no threat. That's right. So now the people are listening to Mildred. She's the preacher. What? I'm not kidding you. I'm not exaggerating this bit. She said, did you see what he did? He prayed for me. I was frozen. I couldn't even move. She said, my body's changed. Look at me. She said, just look at me. She was 82. She said, when he prayed for me, he said, this is what Jesus did. She said, look at me. She's doing windmills. And the people are going. And I'm going, Jesus, you are out of this world. But you got me in it. And it's fun. And I walked to my gate crying. And got on my plane. And then somebody probably said, how are you doing? I don't go into towns to pray for everybody sick. That's what happened generations ago or a generation or so ago. And everybody's eyes got on a few men. And it all petered out if you think about it. Because you're not gifted and anointed to be a one-man band. You're gifted and anointed to train and equip the church for the work of the ministry so that that grace becomes relevant in us. So I never line everybody sick up and pray for them. I do you injustice. Oh, the sick, some of the sick might feel better and be healed and get blessed, but I'll get on a plane and leave and leave you with the idea that, wow, he's anointed and you won't realize you are. You need to realize you are. The Spirit of God is in you, church, if you're a believer. And he said, as you go, preach saying, and heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead and cast out devils. In Luke 10, he said, as you go, heal the sick and then tell them. In Matthew 10, he said, tell them and show them. In Luke 10, he said, show them and tell them. So either way, it's a show and tell, tell and show gospel. I was in a mall and a lady was on a scooter and she was looking at something and I was looking at it too. And I said, hey kiddo, and I made a comment and she just thought it was hilarious. She just howled and laughed and we became like best friends in 30 seconds. And she just had one of them personalities. She'd just go for and howled laughing. You could have heard her the whole way down. And she's just not ashamed and we're getting hitting it off. And I made another comment. None of it was about Jesus. It was just fun. None of it certainly wasn't crude or out of order. It was just, she just thought it was hilarious. And we got talking and I said, what's your name? And I told her my name. And I said, listen, I said, why are you riding on that thing anyway? She said, oh, and she told me her condition. And it's really hard to get around. And she can't stand long. And there's so much pain. And it's just easier to sit. And she used to try to keep moving and got tired of it. So she just gave in. And now she rides all the time. And I said, well, listen, honey, before I leave, I've appreciated laughing with you and talking with you. I got to run, though. And please don't say no. It won't take long. Let me pray for you. Let me believe God changes something right now. She said, oh, no, no. And she just shut down and acted like I wasn't standing there. I said, you're kidding me, honey, right? I tapped her. Honey, you're kidding, right? We were just laughing and chumming a while ago, and I mentioned Jesus, and you turn your back on me like I'm an enemy? Come on. I care about you, and I care about your condition, and I believe God can change. No, I just don't want anything to do with your prayer. I don't want any. Honey, I'm not soliciting you. I'm loving you, and I believe God wants to heal you. If I didn't see God do this stuff, I'd be a fool to ask you to pray. And I knelt down in front of her and began to cry, and it freaked her out when I cried for her. It usually does. You kneel in an alley in stones, it changes people. I watched people melt. I had a black man in our city. I grew up almost in the projects. I don't see color. I'm only saying as a black man just to prove a point. I have zero prejudice. I believe everybody is precious to God. Zero prejudice. My best friends growing up in school were black fellas, and I just love people. But this black man didn't have that, and the city had racial tension over the years. And I go up to talk to him, and he's like, what do you want with me, man? What you got to do with me, man? Hit it, man. I'm like, what are you talking about? Stop. Hit it, man. I ain't got nothing with you. I ain't got nothing with you. I said, well, I got something with you. And I'm talking. And his family come out of the house and said, why are you treating him like that? Can't you see he's a good man? He's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. Boy, it was in a car accident years ago. And he's walking like this. And I knelt down and I finally prayed for him. And they said, let him pray for you. Let him pray. And I said, can I pray for you? He said, go ahead, man. Just go ahead, man. Go ahead. And I prayed for him. And I said, check yourself out. He got up and he walked. And he's the same. He's walking. He's like, turn around like, whatever, man. And I just started to cry. He looked at me crying for him. He's got racial unresolved, but he don't understand. His heart's just angry. He ain't an evil man. He's misguided. He's worth Jesus' blood. He has potential. He has destiny. If all you see is his attitude, you have no compassion for him. You'll judge the book by the cover and you won't open up to the best chapter. So I'm preaching now. Guess what I did? I started crying and I walked across the sidewalk and I got on my knees in front of this man. And I put my hands on his feet and began to cry and pray. And it freaked him out. Because of the humility. Because of the care. In my own city, I could feel it. I could feel him breaking. I could feel him thinking, man, don't do that. Man, don't. Father, I thank you. God, thank you. I said, sir. Passion came on me. Turn and walk. He turned. He went, what? What? I'm bawling now. That's my Jesus. That's King Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to live inside of you. He's walking, crying. His family's on the porch and the lady, his neighbor's in a chair. It's like a movie. She's sitting there crying. They're crying. They're going, look at him. He's going, look at me. And I walked over and the lady said, please pray for me. I have arthritis. I said, Father, in Jesus' name. The girl on the porch, the black girl that was his sister, said, you know what I think? I think God showed up today and he's getting our attention and telling us it's time we all surrender and give our lives to him. I said, I think we need to listen to sister. Come on, I think we need to pray. If you're serious about what she said, come on, lift your hands. Let's get right. Everybody there, it was like seven people. Oh, Father, thank you. Father, forgive me. Father, oh, fire, 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 Holy Ghost, come. I'm telling you. You see what's wrong with me? I got to tell you some stories so you understand I ain't just a fruitcake. I'm excited. Jesus is healing folks and touching folks and making folks whole. Now, I've had two stories going interrupted for that story. You get the point. I ain't backing up. I don't have to finish no stories. It's late. You get the point.
Yes.
Listen. Every one of us can be a Nike commercial and just do it. If you feel uncomfortable, so what? That doesn't stop a thing unless you let it stop you. If you feel nervous, it just might mean you'll come across more sincere. You won't be programmed with an evangelistic method. They might need to see your lip trembling. They might need to see that your words aren't real groomed. They might need to see you're really real and sincere and stepping out in faith and you're actually kind of nervous because you're learning and growing.
Yes.
That might mean more to them than if you were polished. Yeah? That lady in the mall in the scooter left me pray for her because she couldn't stand me crying. She started bawling and said, why are you crying for me? I said, because I love you. She said, you just met me. I said, I know you. She said, you just met me. I said, no, I know you. How do you know me? You were created before time. God saw you before you were seen, predestined to be his daughter. There was a time to be born. And here you sit, ma'am. Your life is the will of God. It's a movie. So give me your hands. In Jesus' name, pain you leave, body you be healed. I said, get up, get up. She stood up. She said, oh. Right in the mall. Right in the mall. You know what happens when that happens in the mall? You can't get out of the mall for a while. I'm serious. Prayed for a lady at Walmart working the register. Little girl. Just a little girl, 18 years old. Thing all over her hand. Tendonitis, tender. Supposed to have been healed and it won't go away. All inflamed. She can't even bear to touch it. She's got this thing protecting her. I said, what's going on with your hand? I'm at Walmart. It's busy. I'm leaving. I just grabbed a few things. A little liquid soap, a little this and that. I was in town. I just had to get a couple things. And I said, honey, I need to see your hand. She said, you ain't touching my hand. I said, honey. I said, I want to do something for you. You're going to love it. It's going to be amazing. I said, she just reached her hand out, like, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to pray for you. She said, oh. So sweet. She's like, oh. I took her little hand, just the side of her hand. Father, I thank you for your amazing love for her. Be healed, pain, leave. In Jesus' name, simple. Now, I haven't always had all these results, bam, all the time. I'm just telling you some. I could tell you a whole lot, bam, all the time. I haven't always seen it. It's not that everybody I've prayed for said, hallelujah, amen, wow, woo-hoo. Sometimes they look right at you and say, no, it feels the same. And I say, well, listen, we've done a good thing. We've touched you in Jesus' name. The Bible says, if I believe and lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Thanks for letting me into your world today. Thanks for letting me cross the line into who you are and believe God for you. And I'm believing today something changes that you'll know he's moving in your body. And they're like, what can they do with that? There's nothing negative. It's not like, well, I just don't want to let people down, misrepresent the gospel. Are you kidding? If you're loving people, you ain't misrepresenting the gospel. You ain't standing there saying, you're going to be healed. I'm going to pray for you and you're going to be healed. Bam. Well, I ain't healed. Ooh, bummer. You're not doing that. You're saying, let me pray for you. I tell people the worst that could happen is nothing. I'm just not believing that. You got nothing to lose. If we don't pray, you're sick. If we do pray and you stay sick, you're the same as if we didn't pray. But if we pray and something changes, we got something. Why don't we go for it?
Right.
That sells most people in a good way without manipulating them. They're like, yeah, duh, what's the problem? Go for it. Okay. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I'm going to pray over you guys, all right? And I want to encourage you guys that in your workplace, when you're shopping, when you're out and about, in your everyday life, not an intentional evangelistic move, just you see something, you notice something. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. Your heart's going to pound. Because you're seeing it and you know it's God and you know you're seeing it because of what we're talking about. I'm telling you, a lot of you, your heart's going to pound. You're going to get nervous. You're going to go, oh, no. And it's all right that you feel that way. And even if that holds you back and you walk by them and get to your car, don't get condemned and say, dumb me, bad me, wow, stupid me, stop that. Nope, you say, wow, God, you're getting my attention. I'm starting to notice the things around me. There's a lot of need out there. Keep encouraging my heart and build me up. Thank you, I'm not condemned. But I do want to move forward. I do want to love people. Please keep empowering my heart, empowering my heart. Don't you curl up and get condemned. And then you're driving out somewhere again. I had somebody call me after I left their church. He said, there's sick people everywhere. I said, they always were, honey. You're just seeing them now. But it's overwhelming. No, you don't have to save the world and heal the world. Just touch the one in front of you. You ladies could get away with this so easy. So easy. You girls just connect out in the stores. And, hey, hon, how you? Going through the clothes rack. And you see her just, she's like, you say, honey, what's going on? I saw you wincing, shaking your hand. What's up? Oh, I think it's carpal tunnel. It just stings and I'm trying to get it to come alive. It just stings. And you girls can get away with this so easy. You talk in the restroom. I heard that one time. That in the ladies' room, you girls talk through the stalls. You got potpourri. It's just like a hangout. You know what a men's room looks like? Nobody says nothing, man. Am I telling it? Me and him, what's your name? Me and Kay could be walking, talking. We hit the door. Oh. Ain't that it? You be talking, hey, Kay, man. And if you just turn your head, I mean, press it into the wall because they think you're looking. I love to mess that up. I say, hey, guys, everybody doing good today? You're talking about pee fright right there, man. You go in the ladies' room, they talk in the I ask the ladies, oh, yeah. They say kids be in the wrong stall crawling up on the lap and it ain't them. Oh, you ain't my mama. You know? So you girls are free. We need to get free. But you girls are already free in this thing. So you could be just going through the closet and you say, honey, I see. Oh, I think it's carpal tunnel. Oh, baby, listen, honey. Just give me your hand for a minute. It ain't no trick. You're going to love this. This will be awesome. They think you're going to read their palm or something. You just take the sides of her fingers real gentle. Father, I thank you for your amazing love for her. She might be looking around thinking, oh, my goodness, she's praying for me in public. Usually they get touched and think, oh, wow, that's sweet. She cares. Usually. It ain't as mean out there as you think. And you just take us out of her hand. Father, I just thank you for blessing her pain and stinging. You leave, hand you be whole. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. Don't pray long. Don't cover her generational curses and heritage and forefathers. And 2 hours later, now you missed the sale. Just give her 10 seconds of faith. You know what I mean? And then when you're done, you could say, check your hand for me, honey. This happens a lot when you'll take that step. You'll see this a lot and then you'll wonder, why haven't I done this my whole life? That's what you'll do. And then you'll start looking. Because when she goes like this, are you serious? What did you do? Well, honey, I really didn't do anything, but someone did a long time ago. And he's my hero. He's my king. His name is Jesus, honey. Well, yeah, I mean, I know about Jesus. Well, listen, now you share. And what's she going to say? I was in a store with a little girl, and the little girl went up and said, "Can I pray for your wrist?" How's the lady going to say, "Get away from me, kid." She said, "You want to pray for my wrist? Oh, how sweet. You really..." She's patronizing, like, "Oh, go ahead." Well, this girl's a little warrior. She ain't playing. "Father, I thank you, God." She said, "Go ahead, ma'am. Check your wrist and be very honest." What she said? "What? Are you... What?" And I come sliding over. "How's your wrist doing? Do you know her?" "Oh, yeah." "Oh, this is incredible. What'd she do?" "She prayed in faith. It's Bible stuff." We talked to her. Guess what she said? "Who would have ever thought that I'd leave the store today, leave my house to go to the store today and come home with a healed arm? Who would have ever thought?" And I'm thinking the church should have thought that. Yeah. Mm. So I keep going, and I knew I wanted to be done definitely by 12:30. I got 5 minutes by. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take steps of faith in your life. Don't set yourself up to fail. It's never about failure. It's about stepping out in your convictions. Look for an opportunity to love somebody this week. If you see somebody hurting, if you get a little impression, don't be afraid to ask them. The worst you can be is wrong. If you say, "Hey, are you going through some financial struggle? I just keep, when I look over there, I felt in my heart that I'm just trying to learn to hear God, and I'm not trying to be weird. I felt like you're going through a financial duress right now, and you're believing God for some things." And they'll go, "That's really weird. Man, I was just telling and duh, and yeah, and what?" And you're like, "Well, listen, man, you might not have a lot of money in your pocket. You might only have 15 bucks in your pocket. But if you can do it, pray for them. And bless them and ask God for increase. And then slide that little bit you have just as a seed into their hand and let them know how serious you are." And I'm telling you, it'll freak people out. It'll wreck them. Because when you walk away, you didn't try to get them to your church. You didn't hand them a card. And there's no string whatsoever to your love. And when you walk away, your love is love. And they're freaked out. What would that do to our communities? What would that do if the number of faces I'm looking at would walk in this manner at some level over time? I bet we'd invest into our towns. I bet our city get touched by the love of God. We all have something to offer if He's in us. We can all love one another. Do you agree? You ladies can really get away with it easy, I'm telling you. And us men, it's not as hard as you think. Y'all good? Okay. Father, I just thank you for this weekend. I thank you for this time. And I just cheer this house on in loving the world around them. And I ask you, God, to keep this word prevalent. I ask you, God, that it would never escape us. And I ask that no one would turn inward and get condemned. Thank you, we're not set up to pass/fail. We're just in you and you're in us, and that's not going to change. You will never change your mind about us. And God, we're not going to change our mind about who you are in us. So, Father, let this be a springboard day into loving the world around us like never before. That explosion Richard talked to me about, let it be the people manifesting your love. And let this excitement come on us like, why haven't I always understood this? This is fun. Let us have experiences, God, that make us cry and cry and cry. Let our hearts be soft before you and loving before them. I bless this house. I bless every family, every person sitting here. And ask the strength and wisdom of heaven be upon everyone. I ask for peace in the homes, resolve in relationships. And I ask that a strong believing body would be found at River Church so that the river could run wild. In Jesus' name, God, you said you'll fill the thirsty and flood the dry ground. Do it. In Jesus' name. Amen? I'm finished.